reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Micah. It's found on page 994. And we read Micah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him? And what happened from Shittim to Gilgal? That you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians. It's found on the page 1219, and we read 1 Corinthians 1, beginning at verse 18. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greek seeks wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found on page 1034, and we read Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. When he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text is based on your epistle lesson for today, though its themes are well reflected in the gospel lesson as well. But to begin with these words, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This is our text. You know, it's rather odd when you think back, particularly on your youth. If you could go back, and some of you are still there, but go back for most of you to like your junior high days and your high school days. And think about the people that you wish you were like. You know, for guys, you know, you want to be that football star. Or up in Minnesota, the hockey star. You wanted to be the popular one, the guy that's the homecoming king. Everybody knows you. Everybody wishes they could be like you. Girls, there was that one girl who every guy in school wished he could go out with. She was so popular. But though a lot of people wanted to be like them, were they really people you liked? You know, sometimes those people were arrogant, mean, made fun of other people. Though a lot of people wanted to be like them, they really didn't like them. I'm just curious, how many of you back in junior high, high school, or maybe you're there today, know somebody like that? What is strong in the world's eyes is not the type of strength that God displays. Who are the people back then or now that you really like. They may not be the most popular, the strongest, or the prettiest. They have qualities. When you come across someone who is merciful, somebody that's willing to make sacrifices for others, you like them. When you come across someone who has a servant attitude, a humble attitude, not the kind of humility where they don't think they're worth anything. No, I'm talking about the humility where they put others first. They see themselves not as someone who needs to be served, but someone who's there to serve. You like those people. Somebody who's patient, slow to anger, abounding in love. But how do we become that kind of people? For instance, how do you learn mercy? I was watching the nightly news a week or two ago. There was an interesting story on it. It was about a young man in high school with Down syndrome. And one day he made up his mind that he wanted to be on the swim team. I don't know why, but he just did. And his dad took him to practice. And he was afraid to jump into the pool. Through a lot of coaxing and coaching and team members helping out, he finally got in the pool. And after 2-3 weeks, he finally learned how to swim. And after a few more weeks, he finally learned to get from one end of the pool to the next. The news report was about his first meet, where he came in last. But as they were showing him getting up of the pool, all his teammates were around him, congratulating him, telling him how good he did. And as they were interviewing the coach, and he was saying how proud he was of this young man. You could almost see on the TV that, is that a tear coming out of that guy's eyes? How do you learn to be merciful? By having someone to show mercy to. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. You know what's really sad? 9 out of 10 children like that who are going to be born with Down syndrome are no longer allowed to be born. The world thinks we don't need them in our midst. You know, those young men on that swim team, before they had to help him, I wonder if at times when they saw him in the halls, they made fun of him. Don't know whether that's true or not, but I can guarantee you that's not how they would have treated him now. How do we learn to become servants? We started this morning singing a baptismal hymn about an infant coming to the baptismal font. You know, children are so weak and powerless especially at that stage. When you do bring one of them into the world and become a parent, you learn how to be a servant because they're very demanding. And their existence is totally dependent on your willingness to serve their every need. They are weak. They're powerless. But those of you who are parents know how much they change your life and your priorities. And how a lot of the things you used to do, you just don't do anymore because you now have to be a servant. All throughout Scripture, you see God making himself known not through the strengths of man, but through his weaknesses. Because that is how God is himself. There's that great passage from Philippians which talks about the nature of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but instead emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant and humbling himself to death, even death on a cross. It is weak in weakness that God delivered us, because God is merciful. And though he is our Lord, he's our servant. And though as he is exalted, he humbles himself, even to death, death on a cross. And that's why we love him. But why did Jesus have to come? It is because when God first created us, he created us to be in his image. What does that mean? He created us to be merciful, servants, humble, loving, the kind of people we like, the kind of God we like. But sin came into this world and it destroyed that image. And in our foolishness, we chase things like popularity and power and strength and might, thinking that it is these things that ultimately bring joy and satisfaction into our lives. But we were so wrong. And so when God does come to redeem us, to buy us back, to save us from our sins, he comes not in strength and in might and in power. And when he does accomplish our redemption, he does it alone and abandoned. But it is through these weak, powerless things that our redemption was won. And what our redemption is supposed to accomplish is to restore us to that image of God that we were originally created to be. Not to be strong in the world's eyes, popular and glorious in the world's eyes, but to be like him, merciful, loving, patient, slow to anger, abounding in love. And how do you become merciful? Find somebody who needs mercy and give it to them. How do you become patient? Wait. How do you become a servant? Through serving. That's how we get closer to what God originally made us and redeemed us to be. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.